Welcome to the Busy Mumsy Podcast, Season 2. I'm your forever coffee-infused host, Ashley Verma, and we are all here weekly to share the ups, downs, and all-arounds of the wild world of parenting. A safe space, a Lego-free space, to vent, to inspire, and well, perhaps this is the only adult conversation you hear all day. What is Adia doing?
A, B, C, D.
Is that funny? So each week, I will be joined by a fellow striving, thriving, and surviving busy mumsy. We learn together, we grow together. Hell, we cheers with an adult bevy when necessary. I get it. I am human and failures simply happen. I am not shiny and I am never filtered unapologetically. I am at its best. Even when the dishes aren't done, there's crayon on the wall and well, my hair hasn't been washed in forever. I am Busy Mumsy. Happy Wednesday, my beautiful Busy Mumsies. Ash here. I hope you're doing fantastic. I'm doing good. I've survived our summer trip. We're back in Uganda. I'm good. I questioned things on the return on that travel back, but we made it. We survived. And we are back into a better sleep pattern. Well, enough about that. Today, I am so thrilled to welcome Sophie Elgort on for a Busy Mumsy chat. Sophie is a fashion and portrait photographer born and raised in my favorite place in the whole wide world. Yes, that's right. Not Uganda, New York City. Her work has been featured internationally in magazines, including Vogue, Elle, Rolling Stone, Glamour, Paper Magazine, Teen Vogue, the Financial Times, the list goes on and on. And the brands that she has worked with, like Adidas, Alice and Olivia, Bloomingdale's. Again, it is so unbelievably impressive how beautiful her work is. So please go to her Instagram account. Please follow. All the information is in the show notes. But how creative she is. But she comes from a very creative family, and she's got an amazing mentor, that being her father, who's also a very well-known photographer. Sophie was named Forbes 30 Under 30 in the art and style category in 2016. Alongside her photography, she also contributes to a variety of media outlets as a photography and fashion expert, both on air and online. Well, you know what? I need a lot of fashion help. So perhaps she can give me, you know, some tips and tricks that she can share with obviously not only me, but with you too. So, you know, we should definitely ask. Sophie is also the founder of Through Our Lens, a nonprofit that provides life-changing access and significant mentorship to teen girls through photography with the goal of more inclusion and diversity in the fashion industry. She is busy. She's a mama bear to three. How is she doing it all? I can't wait to find out. So let's dive on into this week's Busy Mumsy Chat. Well, Sophie Elgort, welcome to the Busy Mumsy Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I have to ask, is this your first parenting podcast, Sophie?
So, okay. No, because my friend Stacey Eagle and her co-host Michelle Park were doing a podcast for a while called Mom's Got This.
Okay.
And they had me on that like shortly after I had my first child, which was like 5 years ago. So they had me on that. And then it was interesting because Michelle Park ended up then sort of taking a maternity leave for her second child. And so I was like their fill-in co-host while she was on maternity leave. So I like recorded episodes with Stacey and we interviewed other moms. So I had a little bit, but like it was like a little bit of a different, you know, and it was in person at the time.
I wish... Yeah. You know, Sophie, if I had the funds, I would fly you from the Hamptons to Uganda. Yes. And we would just have a good old fun time chit-chatting and drinking wine. And that's the dream, right? But unfortunately, I sit in my closet office here in Uganda.
Love
of
it.
All places.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a podcast.
Great. Well, you look good. I mean, you're making the closet work. So
I'm making the closet work. This is what we do. Well, Sophie, you have quite the background and you have quite just the family background of fashion and portrait photography. Your Instagram is stunning. Your website, I mean, all the things. I could sit here for hours on end and just praise and praise and praise everything that you have done. And before we even started recording, just saying to you, your father, what a mentor to have and to grow up under, to see what he had established as well. It's phenomenal. But back to you, more importantly, you definitely have a very unique perspective and a creative mind, right? And that's what you've been working on in this world, behind the lens. But then, like you said, you know, you splash one kid in, you splash another kid in, and then you got another one. So you got three kids under five. Am I right in saying that? Three kids under five. Yowzers. And I will never now complain about my 1 3-year-old. How has motherhood influenced your approach now to photography and your creative mind? Because I'm not going to lie, Sophie, I'm still looking for my mind at times. I'm like, toddler, what am I supposed to do today? So how are you still being able to keep that creative mind behind the lens?
I mean, it's really hard sometimes because, as you said, like sometimes there's just so much brain fog, like to go along with everything that's happening. And so, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, to be honest, I'm like, I wish I had taken pictures of that, or I wish I had like done more when we went to this place or whatever. Like, say I'm going somewhere with family and we're like going to the beach. I'm like, how did I not get all these great shots out of the day? And I'm like, but sometimes I'm like, you know what? It's because I literally did not have a free moment. Like I was schlepping things. I had kids all over me, and I may have had my camera there with me, but I just didn't have a chance. And, you know, I'm always kind of like regretful. And even like sometimes I feel guilty and like, oh, I got to do better. I have to like create more and whatever. But I do think it's like sometimes if your head is not there, it's like really hard to like make the space to create, which sounds so sort of, it sounds a little silly because like, why do you have to make space to create? But I sometimes do think it does take like some energy and like focus to kind of like clear your mind and like, and you know, create something. Of course, there's like often the snapshot here and there, which you can get, and like you're so lucky it's one shot and like that was the shot. But you know, even to like think about like getting like taking that shot when you have children all over you, it's just sometimes hard.
But no, that even goes to say, like, I've had doctors on here and I ask them like, well, you've got children running around and you're a therapist, or how do you disconnect the therapist brain? How do you disconnect the photographer brain to be a present parent? Like, there's a huge switch off. And I think you're so fair in saying like you have to switch on to be creative because that's your outlet. And that's your like your unique perspective of life and the world and how you see it. So there has to be like this, okay, I switch off, I'm mom hat. I switch back on, I am the photographer artist hat, right?
But it is interesting because it's like, I feel like my type of photography, it's like, it doesn't stop after like a shoot ends. You know what I mean? Like so much of my work, I feel like is more like snapshot sort of personal work where like I get some of my favorite pictures not during a shoot, you know? So it's sort of those moments that, you know, you can get great pictures and you can't really switch off and on you can't ever switch on and off the mom thing. I mean, that's always present. Right. So it's like the creativity is like, you don't want to switch that off because like, at least for me, that's sometimes when I get my best work is when I'm not on a project. So it's really a balance, but you're right. Cause then sometimes it's like at the end of the day, it's like, if I've been working all day and I come home, I really have to be like, okay, now I'm present at home. Like I put my phone down and I'm present, you know, cause it's so easy to sort of get lost in your email or your responding to texts or whatever. And then it's always like a scary thing when then you see like your 9-month-old baby, like really wants to like grab your phone because like they see everyone else on their phone. And so they think it's like something really exciting and special. And you're like, oh God, you know,
Sophie, I just discovered, I watched it today. My daughter knows how to swipe up and swipe. And so I Listen, we actually just got back recently. We did a beautiful trip to the States to just visit family and friends. And it was great to switch off. And of course, I was like with my phone. I was playing photographer, not even like a drop in the bag near your caliber. But there I am on my iPhone, you know, doing my magic. And I was like, I was trying to be as present and everything as possible. But she had the iPad a lot. And on the journey back, it was awful and just awful. That's all I could say is it was awful. But and she had the iPad so much that since we've been back, she's had no TV. She's had no iPad. There's no sort of Coco Melon, Gabby dollhouse. None of it is happening in the house. And
felt like it was just becoming too present.
Too much. And I was talking to my husband about this and he was like, well, how do you feel it's going? Like, do you feel that there's a difference? And I go, yes. Except today she grabbed my phone and was swiping, and that freaked me out. Like, it just freaked me out. Like, why does a 3-year-old know to take a phone and start scrolling and swiping? And
they see everybody doing it. And like, that's what I'm realizing. It's like, so it's hard because, you know, you think, okay, well I can be off of my computer at the end of the day, you know, like at the end of the day at 6 o'clock, we usually have our nanny leave and I sort of, then I take over and then my husband gets home like around 7 or sort of finishes up around 7-ish, 7:30. But, you know, sometimes I think, okay, well, if I'm not quite done with something on my computer, like I can kind of like finish up a few things on my phone. Right. But then that's why they get the habit, right? They like see us on their phone, on our phones. And so my daughter, who's now 5, will be like, well, can I have a tablet? And I'm like, no way. And she's like, but you guys have you guys have it. And so it's a hard balance. Cause like, you don't want to sort of seclude yourself in the other room to do work, but at the same time, you know, how great is it for them to like, see, you know, you with like a phone in front of your face, even if you are, you know, finishing off an email. So
it's a wild, wild world. So with 3 kids, a 5-year-old, and is it a 3-year-old and a 9-month?
So I have a 5-year-old, a almost 3-year-old. So he's not 3 yet.
Okay.
He'll be 3 in September. And then a 9-month-old.
How has your parenting changed throughout the years, juggling and then like knowing what you know throughout those milestones for each child? Or are they all just completely different and it was just like confetti being blown out of a cannon each time?
I mean, I think they were all born at really different times. You know, like my first was born in 2018. So, and she was our only one. So like, I think my husband and I are both like pretty relaxed in general, like even with first child, I was never one of those people that was like, I have to have everything done. And like, I have this plan and I have this and this. I was kind of just like, okay, I'm gonna have a baby. Like, yeah, at some point, like maybe I'll put together a nursery and like maybe we'll get some stuff, but I wasn't worried about it.
And I knew we were gonna get along, Sophie. I knew we were gonna get along. This is great.
About it. You know, it's always harder with the first. I think the first is the hardest because first of all, you're going from no kids to, you know, a kid. So your life is completely changed. Like I think the people who say from 1 to 2 is the hardest, I think that's nuts because it's like, you're completely changing your life from 0 to 1. It's, you know, invention. So I think that's always a hard thing. But with 1, you know, you can still sort of like bring them everywhere. Like I would still meet up with all my friends and like bring her and just bring her along. Or people were really good about it and sort of liked having her there. But, you know, I think then with my second, he was born in September 2020, which was like, you know, you couldn't see anyone. Right. It like there, I don't even think there was like vaccines available yet. So it was like really a strange time. And I was fortunate to have a lot of my extended family around. And so we were all sort of like, you know, I still had people around. So it wasn't like we were isolated. I mean, if anything, it was like a little bit nutty because we were living with like 11 people. So, you know, every dinner, every breakfast, like everything was a production. So I think, you know, that was a whole different time as well, because it was, you know, I couldn't bring him everywhere with friends, but at the same time, he did grow up in sort of like a very sort of a larger immediate family. And so did my daughter, who at the time was two, and that was really her formative years. And everyone, when she was two, was like, well, how is she speaking so well? And so clearly I'm like, she's around 11 adults all the time, chatting with her. And like,
it's like a blessing in disguise. As much as you probably wanted to pull your hair out, you were like, let's pass her around and you can have her from 2 to 5. And well, you can take her for bath time.
Yeah. I mean, it was so, and then my third, you know, things are like more normal and it's sort of like a more normal life. And then he's got these two siblings. And so it's like, I feel like every kid, you know, people always say like, oh, I raised all my kids the same. And it's like, well, that's impossible because I mean, maybe if they're triplets, right? Like if you have three kids, if they're triplets, like maybe then you were able to raise them the same. But if they're born at different times, it's like, A, there's like, you know, you're in different years. So there's different things going on around you. And B, you know, you're at a different point of your life. Like you're at a different phase of your career. You're like in a different place mentally for yourself or, you know, just things like that. Your friendships are different or, you know, things like that evolve. So I think it's always going to be a different experience, you know, with every kid and it will like continue to evolve. And I think that that's actually fine.
No, it's a beautiful thing. And so it's a great opportunity to ask you, how has your photography evolved through the years of having kids and from baby one to now, you know, full house, you got a full deck.
I'm like much more purposeful of like what I want to spend my time doing, like what projects I want to spend my time on. So,
Then I'm honored, Sophie, that you're here on the Busy Mumsy podcast.
I was like, this is fun. I mean, like anytime I get to sort of incorporate like my full life, like not only photography and not only parenting, but like everything to, you know, it's always like fun for me to chat about, but, I think, yeah, I definitely now am like much more intentional about which projects I take and what I sort of my direction. And it's what you want to spend your time on, but also like what you want to be creating. And I think as a photographer, like, you know, you can be a photographer in a lot of different ways, but there's a lot of different type of photography, right? So there's like, there's event photographer, there's wedding photographers, there's still life photographers, there's architectural photographers, then there's fashion, there's portraits, there's landscape, like there's, you know, art, there's all different types of things. And like, of course, everything intersects. But, you know, I do think one of the things about photography is sort of figuring out like your style, and that can, of course, evolve. But I do think like, as I've had kids and sort of maybe had less time, like I've been more selective on what I want to shoot and also like what I want to put out there. Maybe it's like been a bit more edited.
Like all I'm thinking about right now is like, have you taken from like from baby one to baby three and like put up like campaigns or whatnot that you've done and kind of like see like how they have evolved or if they've changed or like your tone or, oh, wow, I was like really into like a certain color when my son was born. And then it changed when my daughter, like, you know what I mean? Like, have you looked into that?
I haven't, but like, I definitely think I have a through line on my style, but you know, like right now I've been exploring like as a personal work, the series of like double exposure images that I started actually doing by accident last summer, on, and I basically create these pictures on film and then like reshoot the film over it, and they create these sort of layered images. And so now I'm like really working on that. But you know, it was like the way that it started was that's like my personal work. Obviously I still have my other work, my commercial work, but like the way that started was sort of like a happy accident. And I think it's also like, I think what I've learned by like in my career, and I don't know if it's because of being a parent or just like, you know, just through doing, is recognizing what, like if something happens, like recognizing it and continuing it. Like I could have looked at, so the first role I did of that, it was, as I said, an accident, and I got the pictures back. And at first I thought the lab had messed up my pictures. And then when I looked at them, I realized what I had done. And instead of saying like, oh, this was a mistake, like I have to throw this roll out, I sort of noticed like the beauty in the picture. And so almost like more like an editor, I picked out the images that worked. And not only did I do it for that, but then I sort of have continued the series. And it's been something that's been this like amazing gift that now it's like taken me on this, you know, so I think it's almost like embracing like the sort of unknown, like not even the unknown, but like embracing the things that like the imperfections that like you didn't try to do that. But the fact is like, if it happened, like what can you do with it and where can you take it? Which sounds like a parenting thing to me. I don't know.
No, it does. But then it also like when you said perfection and imperfection, and that comes with like the aesthetic of shooting, right? And especially when you're looking through the lens for fashion, especially, and like how for you, like now with kids and you're trying to teach, right, children, you know, you're beautiful, all shapes, all sizes, and all of those things, right? And I'm constantly with my daughter just going like, beautiful, right? Just so beautiful. And isn't that so kind and so wonderful? Like, and the body confidence and the body positivity for you, who prior to having kids, very much in the land of like fashion photography, has it changed? How are you managing that language in front of kids? Do you find that it's like you've had to change so much, or were you able to handle it as well for you being, you know, going through a body change and everything? My goodness. Like it's a lot, right? I thought it was.
Yeah, definitely is. But I think I've always been someone who's like, my idea of the perfect image is very far from perfect. Like it's not a good image unless there's something about it that's interesting. And like interesting is not perfection to me. I don't find perfection interesting. Like I've never wanted to like over retouch my pictures, or like I've never wanted like just a perfect looking you know, somebody that's just like totally still and perfect with like no imperfect. It's just not fun for me. It's not, if you want that in your campaign, like don't hire me for that. Like I think people have sort of known that for a long time. And so, you know, I think I didn't really have to like change my point of view for that, because I've always been about like body positivity and like diversity in front of the lens of all different kinds, and shooting all different types of characters, any age, you know? And so it's never really been like something that I've been hung up on. I've definitely like continued to like fight for casting people like of all different types of people in the things that I am working on. And it definitely is important in like then vocalizing that to the kids. But yeah, I don't know. I never really had an issue with that. And then same thing, like, I mean, like with my, you know, when I was pregnant and whatever, I just found people to be like very, very supportive and like very pleasant on set. You know, like I was shooting, I think it was Naomi Watts last summer, and I was super pregnant, and I was at her house out east doing the shoot. And so, you know, I'd pull over like chairs and I'd like climb up on them, and she was so funny and sweet. And she'd be like, please, can I help you with that? Like, don't do that yourself. I will pull the chair, you know? And we had a whole team there, but she was just like, I just remember her being like, please don't fall off this chair. Like, this is not worth it. And she would come over and like grab my hand and just be like, you know, it was, I think everyone has been like very sweet and supportive. And I'll remember the people that have been, you know, I definitely had some weird things happen. I felt like, you know, with my pregnancies, especially my first one, because we weren't in the middle of COVID, but like, you know, I had a client who I had been working for a lot. And then when I was going on maternity leave, she asked me for a recommendation of somebody else to like continue shooting. And I sort of said, oh yeah, like this person's great. You know, she can, I'm sure, like shoot for you while I'm taking like a maternity leave. And grant, like I only took like under 2 months off for my first, like I was back pretty fast. And then I just remember like when I was coming back, she was like, she just weirdly just never ended up sort of like using me again. And, you know, it felt like really bad.
Well, I might get backlash for saying this, but I have to ask, because I just have to ask. Did she have kids?
She did, who were older. They were older. And
Okay.
I
Okay.
oh, and so she's, I don't know. It felt like, I don't, it was weird. And I didn't say anything about it. You know, I just kind of let it go. And, but I always remember it. And like, it just felt really bad. And I have to say, it made me really nervous for like, it made me nervous for my next two pregnancies because I was worried about if I didn't take a certain project or if, like I said, I was taking a maternity leave or whatever. Like I never would even put up a an away message like on my email because I'd be like, oh no. Like if I write and like somebody sees that I'm on maternity leave, like they're not gonna contact me again because then they're gonna be like, and now she has a newborn and like, oh no, she has like a 6-month-old or whatever. I'm like, they don't, people don't need to know about it. You know what I mean? Like
Right.
people follow me on Instagram and I'm like friends with whatever, like fine, I'm not gonna like hide my life and like pretend I don't have kids. But you know, it did definitely teach me a lesson. It was like a very good wake-up call, maybe reality check, about how people feel about, you know, and I get it. And I have friends that like now, you know, they'll be having babies. They'll be like, well, do you think I should tell, you know, I'm applying for new, like applying for this or that. Like, do you think I should say that I'm like thinking of getting pregnant? And I'm always like, no. And I'm like, and if you do, like, fine, like, be honest or whatever. Like, you can be honest, but I'm like, you shouldn't be surprised then if you don't get it. You know?
I completely agree, and I think that that's not just a United States issue or just even saturated just into like New York City specific. It's a global thing for women, for sure.
And it's
They just,
crazy.
it's, yeah, it's insane. And even to say, oh, I don't want to put on my, I'm out of the office,
All right, I'm wearing
like, yeah, I did the same thing when I had my daughter. I had a bricks and mortar property in central London, and I was very available. Was very available,
a good friend,
like that.
like working from like the hospital bed before she gave birth because she was like, I'm not trying to lose my job. And like,
Yeah.
of course, like you have protection, whatever. First of all, I don't because I'm freelance,
We're
right?
freelance, right?
You know, I mean, I can understand why people don't want to give up their spot because even if they say, okay, well, somebody will like fill in for you for a little, like you might not ever come back. Like you might get replaced. And it's sort of, and I've seen that happen. And I've also, by the way, had really good experiences. Like I've had fantastic experiences where, you know, when I've been pregnant, I had, you know, the brand Alice and Olivia hired me to shoot their campaign when I was like, you know, n 7 months pregnant.
She's a mom, though. I mean, she
Yeah,
gets it.
but a lot of people are moms. But I just, I, and it's funny because I feel like, you know, for her, she probably hasn't even thought about that since. But for me, it was so,
Right.
I just remember going in like for the, like the way, a lot of the ways that people choose campaigns is like the people will show them other like sort of portfolios or other photo, like people's photos. And they'll say, oh, I like that photo, that photo, that photo. And I'll be like, oh, well, that's all the same photographer. Like, do you want to meet her? Okay. So then I remember coming in for the meeting and being like, I'm never going to get this campaign because like I'm so big already, you know, like they're gonna think like, oh, what if she goes into labor or whatever, but 7 months you're kind of safe.
Yeah.
I mean, not all the time, but obviously in general. So, you know, she probably hasn't even, it probably was like a non-issue for them, but I will always like remember and like gratefully remember that experience because that made me feel like I could do both.
Well, and then I have to ask for the advice for that busy mumsy who's expecting and wants that career and pursue that creative passion while navigating parenthood. Like, what have you learned through the process? What did help you in those moments? Was it just leaning on your partner? Was it leaning into you and just writing? Or like, what was it? Or just to keep going? Was it just to keep going?
I mean, I think that's like showing up, like it's like, you know, doing what you say you're gonna do is showing up. I mean, it's unfortunately like a lot of the time I know not to be on, like I, if there's something going on with the kids or whatever and I can't make it to something, I mean, I would never not make it to a shoot, but like, you know, say I've like committed to going to like an event or something like that and there's one of the kids is sick or whatever, I don't say like that I can't come because the kid's sick. And like I hate to say that, but like I just don't think it's smart right now yet. Like maybe one day it would be fine. But like right now, I think you have to be a little careful with who you, like, who and what you share still. And, like, I think that's sad. But, you know, you just say, oh, you know, unfortunately, I can't make it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with social media. You got to be careful with what you share, or it could potentially come back and bite you in the ass.
Yeah. So I think I've, like, definitely gotten a little more savvy about that, and whether it's, like, jade, you know, I'm maybe a little jaded, like, oh, I've learned, you know, I know, like,
what's smart. It's smart. And I think it's important for anyone that is, you know, earlier on in their careers and going into this wild world of parenting, it's good to hear it and hear it over and over again, because you just can't be, you know, throw caution to the wind and be just you, and that is going to be accepted. Because,
and maybe, and hopefully the amount of sort of negativity that you would get from it, you'd maybe also get, like, the similar positivity, right? Like, hopefully.
Right.
I don't know. I think I'm a little bit, like, cautious. And yeah, so that's, and then also, like, I mean, my husband does a lot. Like, he works a lot full time, you know, also, but he does a lot in the mornings with the kids. He gets them up and does the breakfast, and he brings my daughter to school. And, you know, we sort of divide and conquer. I by no means, like, try to do everything myself. As much as sometimes I'm like, oh, I could totally, like, do this, and I would do this, and I'm this, and whatever. And I think instead of, like, trying to do everything myself, I try to, like, let it go and try to let other people who want to help. So that's been something that's definitely, like, makes it doable.
Well, yeah, I've said this on here a million times on this show of, like, ask for help. It's so important. Like, I, one of the reasons of moving to Uganda was so we could be with my husband and he could see his daughter grow up every day, opposed to, oh, I'll be back in 2 months or 3 months and that kind of thing. And also I have help. Like, I would not be able to focus on a career, and, like, I just wouldn't be able to do it. You know, I do pick and choose. It's okay to pick and choose.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think definitely, I don't know. And I think it's also just, like, yeah, you kind of know you're in it for a certain amount of time, and then that every phase is temporary.
Mm.
So, you know, even if you're, like, in it right now, you know, like I said, my son is, like, you know, been home all, like, from camp all week, and it's been, like, that's been hard. And my daughter was, like, sick one of the days, and then we've had to, like, keep them apart to not, like, give each other whatever they have. And, you know, you're just, like, navigating, like, then my husband is traveling today, and then it's just, like, a constant juggle. But you know that, like, every phase is temporary, and, like, next week it'll be on to something else, right? So you sort of are like, I'm gonna get through that before I know it, that this is gonna be over.
Well, Sophie, I had a very important phase that happened today, because my daughter said, when do I go back to school? I love school. And I was like, okay, she's three. She's in the twos, threes program. Love it. She starts very soon. This recording will be out when she is officially back to school. How exciting. And let me tell you, can I keep that phase until she graduates and goes to university? Can we keep that phase? Because I'm like, I love school drop off and pick up. I love it. I love our mornings together. I love all of that. But let me tell you, the girl is joyous when it comes to school.
But that's amazing. And maybe that's a phase that we'll keep on keeping on, you know?
Yes, we're going to put that out there into the world that Adia will be loving school until she is 18. Well, Sophie, I have to ask, as we always end this podcast with a pass the torch to that expecting busy mumsy. You wear many hats and you've got three children. What do you know now through this crazy wild world of parenting that you would like to just kind of send over to an expecting mumsy?
I mean, I think it's, like, trying to keep what's important to you as part of your life, like, as hard as that is, and not, like, giving up everything of yourself to change for your kid, because I do think your kids will be that much happier to, like, have the parts of you that make you you. You know, I think my kids love to come along with what we're doing. Even if it's not a kid activity, it's like they love to come, like if I'm going with friends to go do something, they love to come along, or if we're like traveling on like an adult trip or whatever. I mean, they love to just be part of your life, you know? I think so many people like try to sort of, they think, okay, well, now I have a kid and like everything has to be around the kid. And like, I don't see things like that. But also keep taking pictures of your kids because, and you know, you can, it's not about the camera. It doesn't have to be on a fancy camera. You can use your iPhone and take great shots, but, and I'm sure, you know, everyone does that right now, but I think the reminder that I, and sort of advice that I'd love to give around the photography and the kids is that it shouldn't all be just the perfect posed moments, right? Like you should get your kid at work, like how they are, you know, like what are they doing? What are they in the middle of? And like, don't stop them from doing it. Like capture them what they're doing. Or even now, I mean, how amazing is it that we have little videos? You can take a little video of it. And like, what an amazing memory is that, like, versus, you know, dressing them all up, getting their hair perfect, putting this, like, that's not real.
Yeah. It's
wild. And like, you can do it when they're already dressed up on like a holiday or this and that, but like, get them as they are. And like, kids look perfect and they are amazing subjects no matter what they're doing. Like, even if they, their hair is like right out of bed, you know, like what's a better,
those are the best shots though. Those are the best shots.
Those are the best shots. So that's my advice for expecting parents.
Oh, I love that. Well, Sophie Elgert, thank you so much for your time, your words of wisdom, and just your pure positivity. Thank you for coming on the Busy Mumsy podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. So nice to meet you. And I love your podcast. I'm such a fan. So I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Did you like it, Adia?
Yes!
Oh, the enthusiasm. I love it. Please share your love by giving us a 5-star rating, a rockin' review, and please share with any fellow Busy Mumsies. We love hearing from you. So if you want to get in touch, head to the Busy Mumsy show notes for further details and links to the Busy Mumsy website. So long for now. Can you say bye-bye, Adia?
Bye-bye, Adia.